I remember when I was in Bible college, and we would pray and seek God for revival, and little did I know at that time that we would start the Revival Baptist Church, the Scranton Revival Baptist Church. It really started in those times of prayer. I remember some of the men who were preacher boys, like Ken Rudolph, who later became a deacon here, and of course Charlie Ware, our first pastor, and others. I remember Ken Rudolph talking to me about people that just kind of are in Bible college studying for the ministry, but they're living a double life. They were living a double life. Maybe they're drinking. Maybe they're involved in fornication with their boyfriend, their girlfriend, and yet they're in Bible college and acting like they are preparing for the ministry. And my friend Ken said, you know, they're just horizontal. There's nothing going on with God. God is not working through them. He's not working with them because they think they can just, as Charlie Ware used to say, turn God on when they go to church and turn him off when they're alone in their private life. And you know, as a pastor, I learned under Dr. Ware that church discipline is in the Bible. And we have a meeting about that next Sunday. And it reminds me that the Christian life is not just what we do before people, it's what we do before God. And we lack the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord means that we turn from evil. We realize God sees evil and he will not reward it. He sees good things that we do and he does reward it. We're always before the eyes of God. God is always watching over us wherever we go, even in the dark, even in the private places. And many Christians think, oh, I could just turn God on and off, and they don't have the fear of the Lord. And so this afternoon, I have chosen for the text of my message, Numbers 32:23, and I'll read the text, Numbers chapter 32 and verse number 23. It says there, "But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord," capital L-O-R-D, "and be sure your sin will find you out." Now, this is Moses speaking as the pastor of the children of Israel out there in the wilderness, and he's talking to the tribe of Reuben, the tribe of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, and he was afraid that they were sinning. And here was his fear that they were not going to go in and live in the promised land and fight against the giants and take over the land, that they were going to settle on the east side of Jordan. And he thought they were like the original people that rebelled against the Lord after they came out of Egypt and they refused to go into the land because they didn't have faith. And Moses said, if you're going to do that, your sin's going to find you out. And he warned them. And that's something I have found out, that when it comes to God, he says, if you're sinning a sin that will destroy the testimony of Jesus Christ, your sin will find you out. And you say, well, Pastor, what do you want me to get out of this message? Well, what I'm saying is that you may be playing around with some secret sin in your life. And I have a wife that hates mice. She just hates mice. And she told me that I'm afraid we have a mouse under our sink. And she said, I want you to set up a mouse trap. And I've had different kind of mice traps, but the best one that I like is the one where you put it back. It's the old-fashioned one. And you put some peanut butter in it, and that mouse eats the peanut butter, and boom, it comes right on his head and snaps right on his neck. So he's like that. And so what I find out is I get that all set up under the sink there, and sure enough, I put the peanut butter in there, and some mouse sticks his nose in there, and then he looks at it a little bit, nibbles a little bit, and then he gets a little too close, and he takes a bite, and boom! And I find him deader than a doornail. And you know what? That's the way it is with sin in your life. It may be a sin that you're playing with. And your mom doesn't know about it. If you're a kid, your dad doesn't know about it. The principal doesn't know about it. But sooner or later, the principal's going to hear about it. Your mom's going to hear about it. Your dad's going to hear about it. And in the church, your pastor, by the way, the pastor, one of his jobs, it's not a pleasant job, but it's his job, is he is to be over-disciplined in the church. And there are certain sins that you get into them, they destroy the testimony of Jesus Christ, and the pastor has to deal with that sin. And you say, that could never happen to me. Oh, yes, it could. Because if you're playing around with sin, just like that mouse, he doesn't expect to be killed. But sin can kill you. Be sure your sin will find you out. Brother Jose is familiar with this from Steve Currington and Reformers Unanimous. Sin will bring you lower than you ever planned to go. It will make you stay longer than you ever planned to stay. And you will have to pay more than you ever planned to pay. Sin is something that costs the Savior his life. The wages of sin is death. And so we're thinking about sin. And, you know, I think about people in this building, like Brother Joe, Elgin Gano, Kyle, working on this building to fix up the bathrooms and to fix up the front lawn and to fix up the buildings. And they're working and they're doing really good and they're being used of God. But do you know there are some people that are being used of Satan to do vandalism to this building? To do things to hurt this building? And I'm just here to say, if this is a child, whoever it is, be sure your sin will find you out. Because this building is the house of the house of God. This building was built in 1886. It was dedicated to God. And when it was dedicated to God, you know, another church got in after that generation passed. And then we got in here after that church left. And we're still here and still way over 100 years, 1886, we are still serving God. And I wouldn't want to be in the shoes of any young person that's messing around with the bathrooms in this building and trying to vandalize any of the work done. That is not a good thing. I'm saying this morning, be sure your sin will find you out. And I'd like to say three things about that this afternoon. And I'm going to go to Joshua 7. Now, we looked at Moses in Numbers. Now, we're going to look at the next pastor of Israel, Joshua, the head pastor. And be sure your sin will find you out. Number one, because God will show the pastor your secret sin. God will show the pastor, because he's over-disciplined, your secret sin. And that happens as a principal in the school. A lot of times, a student will be doing something in secret. They think nobody knows about it. It comes to the principal, and I'll come into the classroom, knock on the door, and the teacher's at the door, and I'll go like this to some student. You don't want to be there for that one. And then you have to go and deal with it. Be sure your sin will find you out, because God will show the leader, your pastor, the secret sin. And God had told Israel, you know, when you go into the city of Jericho, it's going to be the first city. You're going to march around it. You're going to march around that city for 6 days one time and do certain things. And then on the seventh day, you're going to go around it seven times. You're going to blow the trumpets. You're going to shout, and the walls are going to fall down, and you're going to go into that city. But when you go into that city, do not take anything out of that city for yourself, because I've cursed that city. You can put it in the Lord's treasury. You can give it to God, but don't take it out for yourself, because God said, I have cursed that city and everything in it, and you can only give it to God, but you can't take it to yourself. Well, one of the Israelites secretly took things from Jericho and hid it under his tent. His wife knew about it. His family knew about it, but they were the only ones, and they thought, nobody knows. We have gold under our tent. We have new clothes. You know, for 40 years, we haven't been able to buy new clothes. We got clothes. They stole it. God said, do not steal it. By the way, when you hold back on the tithe and the offering, you're stealing from God. You're robbing God, you see. The Bible says that. You're not to rob God. And when you're taking things that God condemns in the Bible, and you're doing those sins that God condemns in the Bible, God condemns drinking, and God condemns fornication, and God condemns these things, and you're doing these things, then you see, God condemns stealing, and God condemns vandalizing the house of God and hurting and harming and doing and hymn books, you reckon him. God sees that and it says, be sure your sin will find you out. Well, what happened? They defeated the Canaanites at Jericho. Now Joshua was leading the army to go to another city, and the spy said, oh, don't bring a lot of men. You only need just a few men, a smaller force. It's not a big city, and you go in there and you take that city. And they went to attack the city called Ai, and when they attacked it, guess what? The Israelites were beaten before the enemy. The enemy came out and started killing them, and while they were losing the battle. And Joshua got down on his face and he said, God, what happened? I thought you were with us. You promised you would bless us. What is going on, God? And he was blaming God for it. And God said, get up off your face. He said these words, and the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned, and they have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you anymore, except ye destroy the accursed from among you. Joshua 7:10-12. You see, God said, hey, it's not my fault. I told you everything in that city is cursed. And one of the Israelites took that, and he counted all Israel as being guilty. You see, you don't sin in a vacuum. Your sin affects other people. My sin affects other people. You know, the church is a body. Just like Israel, they were all interconnected. This church is a body. And when we sin, it affects other members of this body. If you have a rotten apple, that apple spreads, that rotten apple spreads to other apples. I've mentioned a loaf of bread. If you have a moldy loaf of bread, that bread spreads to other things, and that thing is going to spread. If you have cancer, that cancer can spread. And so you affect other people. That's why, be sure your sin will find you out. You say, what are you talking about? God doesn't want it to spread. God doesn't want your sin to spread. God doesn't want the church to become like the world. God doesn't want us to be just like the world. We're separated. We're holy. We're set apart for God's purpose. And he's cursed the things that are of the world, that are of the flesh. And so the pastor is over that. He is the spiritual program director of the church. He's over the discipline program of the church. And God will show the pastor your secret sin. Why? Because your sin is going to spread. It's going to affect others. It's going to destroy the church. And so it is very important that that not happen. And that's why God said to Joshua, get up off your face. You have to deal with this thing. A while back, I was doing some visiting on a Saturday, and I went to different places. And I don't normally do this, but I cut back from where I was visiting and went by where I had visited previously. And when I did that, I saw this particular guy walking. And when I stopped and talked to him, I realized he was in fornication with one of our members. It just was brought to my light, and I knew God put it right there. Why? Because be sure your sin will find you out. And this person had been doing this in secret, and it came to light. And later on, I confronted them, and they would not repent. If they would have repented, it could have been made right, and they could have been restored and walked holy. But they wanted to hold on to that cursed thing. They wanted to hold on to that relationship, wanted to hold on to that sin. And where they were living, the people moved them out of where they were living, but they moved in together, and they were doing this, and it went to the church. And the church had to put that member onto discipline outside of the fellowship, so they can't come to church. They can't have the Lord's table. Nobody in the church can eat with them. And why? Because God said, you need to put that on the outside of the church. You need to make it clear that that is not something that you are for. And not just through preaching, but through practicing it. Because be sure your sin will find you out. My secretary told me the ladies' bathroom had worked on it, and somebody was stuffing toilet paper in and doing an elaborate thing to vandalize the work in the ladies' bathroom, and it keeps happening. And I want to say, God doesn't like that. Be sure your sin will find you out. That is something that God is against, and he's trying to build up the church, and he's trying to bless the church, and we're working to do it so that we can have people come in, and it'll be a good testimony, and this building will reflect how we feel about God. Because if we have a building that we're not taking care of, that means we don't care for God, we don't care for his word, we don't care for his work. You know, everything in the building can run down as long as my house is all right. No, that's not what we want. And so if somebody's coming in here, even if it's a little child, I wouldn't want to be in that child's sneakers. And if you see somebody, say something, and be sure your sin will find you out. Because you say, what are you talking about, Pastor? The Bible says in Matthew 18, if your brother sins doing something like that, you need to go to that person. And if I were a child, I would tell that child, I'll give you till, you know, lunchtime. And if you don't tell the teacher, the principal, I'm going to tell. Why? Because it says go to them first. And so be sure your sin will find you out. And that's what God said. Neither will I be with you anymore except ye destroy the cursed from among you. We don't want to destroy people getting saved. We don't want to destroy what soul winners are doing so the power of God won't save people and God will just give up on us. We don't want to be Ichabod Baptist Church. What is Ichabod Baptist Church? Ichabod means the glory has departed. That means that God is not blessing the preaching. God is not blessing the soul winning. People aren't getting saved. Their lives aren't being changed. Why? Because God says, you are doing something that I'm against, and you're not dealing with it. I remember we came to Scranton. There were pastors of these churches, and the pastor would be out getting drunk. He would be cheating on his wife. There would be all kinds of wickedness that is worldly going on, and it wasn't being dealt with in those kinds of churches. And they were washed up churches doing nothing for God. Well, be sure your sin will find you out. It happened with Moses in the wilderness. It happened with Joshua, with this individual that stole from Jericho and hid it under his tent. And Joshua was told by God, that is the problem. There is sin inside the camp. By the way, that's not just Old Testament, that's New Testament, the church in Jerusalem. You remember, there were two people in the church, and they lied to the church. They said, we sold our property and we gave 100% to God. And they lied. They did not give the 100% to God. What was their sin? Lying. And the Apostle Peter was the head pastor of the church back in those days. And he said, you haven't lied to people. You're lying to God. You see, the church isn't just a country club. We're not just a social club. You know, it's just not people. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us and inside of the leadership of the church. And if you go before the church and you lie, you're not just lying to people. You're lying to God, who lives inside that body. And so we need to have fear of God. The Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And if you're playing with that sin like a mouse, that trap's going to come down and it could catch you. And what happened to Ananias? He died very suddenly. God took his life. And what happened to Sapphira, his wife, later on? She had the opportunity to tell the truth, and she lied, not even knowing her husband had just been killed. And she died. You say, does it matter who it is? No. God is no respecter of person. Be sure your sin will find you out, because the one that's over the discipline will bring out your secret sin. And you say, well, what happens if the one that's over the discipline gets disciplined? Then he's in the Lord's hands, and God will deal with him. And I wouldn't want to be in that pastor's shoes. Number two, because God will not only show the pastor, the leader, your secret sin, but God will show the pastor the source of that secret sin. God will show him the source of it. Now, sometimes there's no problem. In Numbers, in the Bible, a man would get jealous about his wife and say, "You're cheating on me." And God said, if she is being accused of cheating on her husband, she needs to go to the tabernacle, and she's to take this. The priest takes dust from the floor of the tabernacle, puts it in water, and has her drink it, and says, "Did you cheat on your husband?" And she goes, "No." When she drinks that, her thigh of her leg would get real big, and then her belly would swell. And then her thigh would start rotting and smelling like gangrene. And that would show she did cheat on her husband, and she was executed for it. But if she didn't do it, she could drink that and nothing would happen. And then she could have children from her husband, because it was like a lie detector that God had. You see, be sure your sin will find you out, because God will let the head man, the pastor, know there's a problem. And number two, that there is a source to the problem. He will get to the root of it. He will get to the source of it. And you say, well, pastor, who was the source of the problem with Joshua and the children of Israel? His name was Achan. Achan was the source of the sin, and he had done something that we talked about that he should not have done. And so in the New Testament, the source of it was Ananias and Sapphira. And the pastor, who was Peter, was shown by God what they did. And the pastor asked them the question. He already knew what they did. By the way, be sure your sin will find you out. If somebody in authority says, "Did you do that destructive thing to the bathroom?" You better say, "Yes, I did it. Yes, I did it." Because it's worse when you cover it up. It's worse when you cover it up. You see, you don't cover your sin. The Bible says if you cover your sin, you're going to be in more trouble than ever before. And that's called contumacy. Contumacy is covering your sin, being, I did it, but he made me do it. I did it, but she did. No. That's what Adam did. My wife made me do it. My wife that you gave me made me do it. You know, he blamed God and Eve. And Eve blamed the snake. You know, and God dealt with them all. And God will deal with us. And it's our sin that gets us in trouble. The Bible says if you confess and forsake your sin, God will show you mercy. But if you hold on to it with contumacy, then you will not prosper. If you do that, be sure your sin will find you out, the Bible says. And how many times have I had to deal with sin in the Christian school? How many times have I had to deal with sin in the church? I don't like to do it, but it has to be dealt with. How many of you have ever had to plunge a toilet? Ever had to plunge a toilet? You like doing it? No, it's not a pleasant job, but it's a necessity. It has to be done. And the same thing has to be done in the church. It has to be done. And I'm just saying, there's certain things our nation can't let go. I don't believe our president can let go, and he doesn't let it go. he keeps talking. How many of you heard our president talk about election fraud in the 2020 election? He keeps saying it was stolen. It was stolen. You notice he won't let it go? You know what? I won't let it go either. I won't let it go, because if it's let go, we lose our nation. If sin is let go, that destroys the testimony of Jesus Christ in the church. Then surely, if people are allowed to get away with stealing the vote, you no longer have a democratic republic nation. You don't have free and fair elections. You don't have a free nation. You don't have it. Mail-in ballots. Even Jimmy Carter, who was one of the worst presidents I ever saw, he at least had this right: no mail-in ballots. No mail-in ballots. Even foreign countries know better than to have these mail-in ballots, except for, you know, just the exception cases that we talk about. But they're doing this because they're committing fraud in the election. That's what went on in Venezuela. That's what went on in Cuba. That's the machines themselves are fraudulent. They need to have one day voting, and you put it down on paper, and don't let these things continue to go on. And so be sure your sin will find you out. Obama in 2016, December, he made a coup to get rid of Donald Trump. That needs to be dealt with. Obama needs to be arrested. I said he needs to be arrested. They have the evidence. Be sure your sin will find you out. George Soros said in a speech, I heard it in 2016, oh, America has elected a president, Donald Trump. He's part of a populist movement, but that's not going to last. By 2020, that will be over. And that's when they stole the election, didn't they? He said it's not going to last. It's going to be very short. And I learned a long time ago when I was trained to be a pastor by our pastor that you have to do church discipline. Matthew 18:15, if you see somebody do something, you need to go to them. If it's a sin that's going to destroy their lives and the testimony, you need to go to them and you need to talk to them about repenting. And if they don't listen, take a spiritual person with you or two and tell them again and write down what they say. And if they don't listen to that group, then you go to the church and tell the church. If it's already public, then you go right to the church. But the Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out, because God will show the pastor your secret sin, what it is. God will show the source of it to the man of God. And last, because God will show the pastor your spanking. Your spanking. You see, God does believe in spanking. I know CYS doesn't believe in spanking, but the Bible does. That's why we're made with padding. You know, you have that padding right back there on the gluteus maximus. It's so that we can get the Board of Education put on the seat of learning. How many of you have ever been spanked in a proper way as a child? Is that all? Now it's coming. And you can thank God for that, because God will show the leader your spanking. And the Bible says, so Joshua sent messengers, and they ran into the tent. By the way, we need to run when we're giving the gospel to people. Remember Philip, the Ethiopian eunuch? He ran to the church. Listen, you get an opportunity to give the gospel, don't miss it. I had an opportunity yesterday, I missed it. I had a whole household of people, and I kicked myself because I missed the opportunity to give the gospel to about seven people. Just wonderful opportunity. I kicked myself that I missed it. Run to that opportunity. When you have it, take it. Pray for it and then take it. But you know what? When you have an opportunity to confront secret sin that leads to spanking, you better make sure that you get to it right away. And so it says that this person ran into the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran unto the tent, and behold, it was hid in the tent. You know, I had to deal with church discipline recently. I had to run. I had to run upstairs. I had to be in the right place at the right time. I had to be there like Elijah when Naboth did his thing in the vineyard, you know, and Elijah was told, get over there to that vineyard. Naboth's going to come. And I got there, and I was there, and I was able to talk to the person. not because I wanted to condemn them, but because I wanted them to repent and have a soft heart. And I saw a tear escape the eye as I talked, but I didn't see repentance, but I pray for it. You need to pray for that when it comes to these matters. And it says, so Joshua sent messengers, and they ran into the tent. Behold, it was hidden, the tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent and brought them unto Joshua and unto all the children of Israel, laid them out before the Lord. Listen, you're better to give up your sin than have people drag it out in the open. You better give up your sin than have God Almighty, through his deputies, whoever his deputies are, drag it out in the open, because it's only going to get you worse, right? It's only going to get you worse. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah and the silver and the garment and the wedge of gold and his sons and his daughters and his oxen. By the way, what happened? It spread to his daughters. It spread to his sons. It spread to his family. Listen, your sin will spread to others. And it says, and all that he had, and they brought them into the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord trouble thee this day. And guess what? All Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire. You know what fire is? It's a symbol of God's judgment. But it purifies, right? It purifies. Do you know church discipline when it's practiced? And you see, maybe it's a relative of yours, and they've been living an ungodly life, trying to think you can get away with it, and live a secret sinful life, and think they can get away with it. When that happens, listen, it may be a relative of yours, but God sees it. And he's trying to wake you up and shake you up, because he doesn't want you to be part of it. If somebody would have told Achan in his family, I'm not going along with this. Either you get it right, or I'm going to tell Joshua. He would have got it right, perhaps, but no. They held it in, and now they all got stoned. The whole family got stoned because they covered up for each other. Listen, a wife doesn't need to cover for her husband if he's doing a sin that is wrong. Cheating on his wife. I'm just saying to you that they stoned them with stones and burned them with fire. And the Bible says after they'd stoned them with stones, and they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. See, God said, I'm going to deal with all of you unless you bring it out. Better have somebody in the church be removed than the whole church have your candlestick removed. Then God remove his power and his blessing, because God will show you, I'm sorry, God will show the pastor your spanking, the spanking for it, for that sin that you have been involved in. And it happened in the Old Testament. It happened in the New Testament with Ananias and Sapphira. Peter says, how is it that ye have agreed together, Ananias and Sapphira, to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. And the wife died. But what happened to the community? It said, and great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. Do you think the world is afraid of the church? Not too much. Why is the world not afraid of the church? Because the church doesn't walk in the fear of God as we ought, and don't take things seriously as we ought. And that's why you shouldn't play with your sin. The Bible says God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you sow to the wind, you're going to reap the whirlwind or the tornado. It's going to come back on you. And so get out of your sin while you can. By the way, when we have the Lord's table, like we're going to do next Sunday, it says, examine yourself to see if there is an unconfessed sin in your life that could bring you into judgment. And 1 Corinthians 11 said, because you're not examining yourself, some of you are sick because of sin. Now, I'm not saying all sickness is sin, but sometimes it is. And he said, some of you are asleep. And what does that mean? That you're a Christian, you went to heaven early, and your body is in the grave. It'll be raised up, yes, but your life has been cut short. God still takes lives. Be sure your sin will find you out. The wages of sin is still death. Sin that is not judged, you receive the judgment and it comes down. And if a church lets it go, then the church will be dealt with. And so it's very important to have the church deal with sin, because fear will come on the community and people will be afraid to join the church. You say, well, I don't want people afraid to join our church. No, if they're going to play church, they should be afraid. In other words, when you join the church, it's because I want to follow Jesus. I know it's not just a social club. I have responsibilities. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 that when that person was placed on church discipline, they were handed over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Do you know what that means? That means that when you're a member of the church, God puts a certain hedge of protection around you from Satan. Remember Job, he said, you know, you put a hedge around him, Satan said. Take that hedge away from him. He wanted to get at him. He wanted to get at Job. Do you know Satan wants to get at you, but because you're a member in good standing of Scranton Revival Baptist Church, according to the Bible, there's a certain hedge, there is a certain protection that God gives us. He gives us that hedge. But listen to me, if you lose your privileges of being a member of the church, an active member, and you're placed on discipline, that means that you're out there where Satan can get you and get at your body and give you sickness and give you disease and give you death. And that's what was going on in this church at Corinth in chapter 11. And in chapter 5, the apostle said, when you're doing church discipline, not only are you removing the privilege for that person to take the Lord's table and to be having dinner with you and having times together at restaurants and all the good things that we have in this church, you lose that privilege. You lose that privilege. And when you do, Satan gets after you. I had the opportunity to confront one of our members about that this week, and I said, you know, it's not going to go well with you. I don't want this to happen. I want you to repent and come back to God and to His Word and to, I feel for you. I love you. I don't want to see you. I've been a pastor for 48 years, and I know Satan doesn't treat people well. Satan doesn't love you. He's going to destroy your life. And when you hand people over to Satan like that, you're showing them love, because you know what? If Satan destroys their life, it's so that they'll turn back to God before they die. So that when Jesus comes back, they'll get a reward. I don't want to be saved so as by fire. I don't want to lose my privileges. And I saw a tear escape this person's eye, and I thought, I hope they really get this. I hope they have godly sorrow, and it leads them to repentance. Because I said, I want it to go well for you. It's not just the testimony of Jesus that you're hurting. It's your own self, unless you repent and turn around. Be sure your sin will find you out. And you say, well, what about a person that you do that and they just prosper? Everything seems to go well for them. It's just fine. Be sure your sin will find you out, because God only spanks His own children. God doesn't spank the devil's children, but He will judge you at the great white throne judgment. Judas will have to be raised from the dead and face the great white throne judgment. Every person that's a fake Christian, you're not really born again. You don't have the Holy Spirit in your heart. You got a family, you got a school, you got a church. Oh, everything's good. But without Jesus in your heart, you'll have to go before the judge. You know who the judge is? Jesus. And he'll cast you into the lake of fire. He'll have an angel do it. But that will be the judgment because you didn't accept him as your Savior. And therefore, it's worse than a spanking. That's judgment. Be sure your sin will find you out. Number one, because God will show the pastor, the leader, your secret sin. Number two, because God will show the pastor, the leader, the source of your sin or the sin that's in the church, very specifically. And number three, because God will show the pastor the spanking that is appropriate for it, that is in the Word of God. I would rather have the Lord encourage me that I'm on the right path rather than him have to spank me because I'm on the wrong path. Let's bow for prayer. We've been talking about be sure your sin will find